Hi, and welcome to Only the Avatar.
An Avatar, the Last Airbender rewatch podcast. I'm Veda.
And I'm Christina, and you're listening to Season 3, Episode 4, Sokka's Master.
Super fun.
This is like one of my favorite episodes. I don't really know why. I always go back to this episode. A part of me feels a lot like Sokka, like undervalued or not adequate enough. And he came out of his shell this episode and showcased why he is so valuable to the rest of the team.
Everyone knew it the whole time how valuable he was. He just didn't know it about himself.
I know.
Which is just, heart melts.
I know.
But like, there's so many teaching styles in the series, yes. Right? Like, we've seen so many different types of masters. But like, did you ever have a teacher that you're like, this person just got me and like made a big impression on you?
I think my music teacher from middle school made a huge impression on me. She really told me like, you can sing, you know what I mean? I remember the moment that like, actually it wasn't this teacher, but it was a teacher in elementary school. I never knew if I could sing or not, but I remember trying out for like the school like play or something like that, and I was too scared to audition for a solo. So I was like, I'm just gonna audition for like the group singing number because I'm too scared to audition for a solo. So I sang and did my audition, and my teacher goes, I know you said you wanted to do a group singing voice, but if you're confident, if you want to do it, I want to give you a solo. No. Are you okay with that? And I still remember that moment, like to this day. That was actually my elementary school teacher. So she made a big impression on me too.
That's so cute.
What about for you?
I would say my voice teacher too. I think singing definitely gives you a lot of confidence. Or like even sports, music, like I can't imagine if you're a kid and not doing one of those, you know, because I think it gives you that thing like outside of school sometimes of like, oh yeah, I can do something. I would say my voice teacher. And then actually I had a math teacher in seventh grade, and like I was like insecure, but somehow randomly in middle school, I was like pushed up to all honors classes, you know, like randomly, because I was like off and on in elementary school because I like just, I don't know, I couldn't pay attention, I guess. But then suddenly in middle school, like they moved me to all honors classes, and it was like one teacher who randomly vouched for me. She was like, oh, you're really smart. And I was like, thanks.
Sometimes you just need someone to believe in you. Like that could really make or break a child.
I know.
Shout out to all the teachers. Thanks for doing great work.
Seriously. So how was your week?
It was okay. It's been okay. It's been a long week, but at least it's nice and sunny out. I haven't been able to really consume any media or read anything just because I'm so busy with work. But I'm happy that it's nice outside. Oh, I will say though that I did start an audiobook called Most Likely.
Oh, fun.
And it's a young adult book. I'm literally in the first chapter. I just started it today, but it's about four girls from high school. And in the beginning of the book, you find out one of these four girls becomes the president of the United States, but they don't reveal which of the four girls it is. So it's kind of like a mystery, like, oh, who's going to be the girl that's the president? And the entire time I'm listening to it, it's like, I've only listened to like two chapters or something. You're kind of figuring like, oh, would it be this girl? Maybe that girl, you know? You're thinking about that the entire time. So it's pretty cool.
Oh, that sounds so fun.
Yeah.
So my friend was staying with me for a few days, like maybe like 5 days or something she was with me. And she's actually starting a podcast too. It's not out yet, but it's called Everybody's Hot. And so they're like pre-recording a bunch of episodes. And it's just like kind of a horny podcast celebrating all different actors and actresses, and you know, everybody's hot. And so each episode focuses on a different celebrity. And so she has a list of movies that she has to watch. So we did watch a bunch of those, and they were all really weird. Extremely weird.
Who is the actor that they chose?
There's different ones for every week, but we watched one called Cat Fight, and it stars Sandra Oh, and Sandra Oh was the person. The movie is so weird. It was so weird, but I kind of loved it. We also watched a movie called Birdie, which with starring Nick Cage. Real weird.
All the Nick movies, Cage? I love how you call him Nick Cage, like you're friends with him.
We're
Nicholas
bros.
Cage.
We're bros, obviously. Anyway, all the movies that I watched a lot of movies this weekend, and they were all absolutely bizarre. every single one. I watched one specific movie that I want to call out called Shiva Baby, and it was so anxiety-inducing and funny and weird. And it's like, it really reminded me to my own mental breakdowns once I graduated college, being like, what do I do with my life? Like, who am I? And it was a great film. And the people who made it are all in their like early 20s. And it was just nice. It was just a great movie. If you want to support some, you know, young filmmakers, I would say definitely watch it. You could probably watch it on their website. And I also watched I also watched Shrill on Hulu season 3.
Nice.
And I have to say, I don't know if you watch Shrill, but it's a very good like background show. Like, it's not a perfect show, but it's just like enjoyable to watch. I was very angry towards the end. So if anyone is a Shrill watcher, please reach out to me because I want to rant about it and I don't want to give any spoilers. But yeah, it was a really good week. It was nice having my friend in town. It was a good transition because I've been at home with my family for a bit and now I'm back at my apartment. So it was nice having someone else in here because I'm usually by myself. So it was nice.
Nice. Sounds like a fun venture-filled or movie-filled weekend.
Yes, and also lots of adventures. We were definitely more social than we have been in a long time.
Now that we're vaxxed.
And yeah, fully vaxxed. So, yeah, we were out and about, and I was like, oh my gosh, I went to the Met, I went out to eat, like, I was out and about. So, it was a social and fun weekend.
Nice. I'm happy that someone, you know, oh, this weekend I did visit my family. Because it was Mother's Day, but it was nice to actually like go to my parents' house, not wear a mask, feel like totally like felt like somewhat normal just because everyone in my family is vaccinated. So it was really cool. Really, really cool. We ate inside. I was like,
look at us. Look at us. But I feel like there's a lot of like crazy celebrity gossip and stuff happening, like divorces, getting together. I feel like,
yeah, were you talking about that Olivia Munn and John Mulaney are dating apparently? What? And John Mulaney like just got divorced or something?
Yes, and their divorce is so weird. Like, that there's definitely some energy around there that I'm like, yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's a weird energy in the air. I think summer is gonna be a little bizarre.
Yeah, I will say that I became obsessed with this one TikTok account called Jane Doe. I think it's called Jane Doe. It's Jane One or something like that on TikTok. I'll put it in the comments, but of the show. But she just reenacts like people's encounters with celebrities, and honestly, what? It's addicting. Like, it's crazy. Some of the things she always says, like, "Oh, it might not be true. It's just submitted." But she kind of reenacts them.
That's so fun.
And it's so interesting. You learn about like personalities of some celebrities. Which ones are nice? Which ones aren't? And things like that. It's really, really cool. So I can't think of the name now, but once I find out, you guys should look her up.
Yeah, that sounds fun. Was there a celebrity that stood out to you that's like good or bad?
Well, my favorite story was a story of Matthew McConaughey going to Cipriani like really, really high. Like, he just smelled a weed. He looked out of it. And I guess it's a story from the waiter. And of course, like, they don't say who the celebrity is, but everyone guesses. And she kind of makes hints stuff. Like, when she reenacts it, she goes, "Hey, hey, hey." So you know it's Matthew McConaughey, but she doesn't outright say it. So everyone assumes it's Matthew McConaughey. But the story is that he went to Cipriani. He's super high and he keeps on talking about the bread. He's like, "Oh my God, this bread's so good. It's so good. Could you please get me more bread, please?" And it's like every 10 minutes the waiter is getting bread because he's so high. But then he leaves like a huge tip at the end and he's like, "Can I get bread to go?" Like, I just love that story.
We've all been there. Honestly, is there anything better than bread?
I mean, no. Like, I'd probably do that if I wasn't high, honestly.
Should we jump into the episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
So the gang uses their amazing bending skills to basically save a village from this huge meteorite fire that comes down to Earth by them and the Fire Nation. And so everyone is able to help using their, like, amazing bending, except for Sokka. And he's kind of down about it. The day after the fire, Sokka is still feeling really insecure and kind of left out. And he even says he's just not that special. And the gang doesn't see him that way, but they do try to cheer him up with a nice shopping trip because we all know that Sokka loves to shop.
Retail therapy.
Yep. And they discover that the best swordsman in the entire Fire Nation lives in the town.
So the gang thinks that this would be a great opportunity for Sokka to master a skill. They all have had great experiences with teachers and it's helped them. So they encourage him to visit the master swordsman. And so Sokka does. And he convinces Piandao to teach him, who is the swordsman. And along the way, Sokka finds interesting learnings. Piandao brings a lot of art into it, and so that helps him. And by the end of the training, Sokka admits that he isn't from the Fire Nation colonies, and he says that he's from the Southern Water Tribe because he doesn't want to lie to the teacher after they've had this amazing bond and Sokka's learned so much.
Yeah, and him admitting that he's from the Southern Water Tribe causes basically a battle between the master and the student, and it's really sweet. The rest of the gang tries to help Sokka, but he says, no, this is my fight, and it's Sokka versus the master, and it's very clear throughout this battle that Piandao is the clear winner of the match. Sokka is still able to prove himself, and throughout the entire battle, we hear Piandao or the master talk about great agility, great swordsmanship, and Piandao calls him out and says, this is great. You have a lot of creativity and versatility. You might not have the best skills, but if you train hard enough, you could be a great master one day. And then, you know, at the end of the session, Piandao leaves Sokka and the rest of the gang with the gift of the White Lotus Pai Shao tile. And while the gang seems a little confused by it, us, the audience members, know where the master's loyalty truly lies.
Yeah, I loved that. I love that whole scene. And meanwhile, we see Iroh is in jail and the Fire Nation soldiers, the guards are like, oh, what happened to you? You're disgusting. You're a crazy old man. Look how the mighty dragon of the West has fallen. But joke's on them. Iroh's only pretending to be like weak and crazy. And in reality, he's buff. He's so strong. Oh my God, he's so strong, and he's training to break himself out of prison. Like, he looks good. I'm not gonna lie, Daddy Iroh.
Are you crushing on Daddy Iroh over here? You just love the entire family. Well, you love the good part of the family. You love Zuko and you love Iroh.
Oh, me too. I love a redemption story, you know, and I love a self-made man. Like,
yeah, I like Sokka.
Yeah. I like Sokka too. But yeah, where should we start?
I mean, why don't we just start with talking about Sokka and his feelings of not being special or inadequate? You know, it's so interesting to think about the value that a bender versus a non-bender can bring to the table. And I feel like this episode does a really good job of showcasing that just because Sokka can't bend like the rest of the people in the gang, he brings so much value to everyone. You know, he's a project manager. He's the one that can read the maps. He's the one who's making the jokes. Like, I loved all of the scenes where it was just Katara, Aang, and Toph. Like, being like, oh, what do we do?
They were lost without him. Absolutely lost. And also, like, Katara trying to make a joke and just falling flat on her face every time. And I actually kind of liked the moments of Toph, you know, like, hiding her feelings for Sokka when she turns, like, oh, I didn't miss you, turning around and blushing.
Because, so I was surprised because, like, you know, I never realized, like, I think once we're, now that we're doing this podcast, I never realized that, like, she had a huge crush on Sokka. Mm-hmm. But these little moments like this, or he's gone and she's, like, blushing and things like that. I wonder why the writers never decided to make this a bigger storyline, like, between Sokka.
Maybe it was the age difference. I don't know. But I kind of like that she has this secret crush and, like, she tries to pretend to be so strong and emotionless. But I feel like it was a real insult to injury during the beginning where they're like, oh, you can just watch Momo. Like, I feel if they didn't have that moment, there are moments throughout the series where he's like, oh, I'm not a bender. I'm not, you know, he feels bad. Like, he's trying to find his place. trying to find his niche. Yeah.
And you know, he does. He has his boomerang. He was using like whatever weapon he had to like put out the fire. It wasn't doing much. But you know,
yeah,
like, he has his moments where he knows he's the one in charge, like of the project, of project managing and things like that. But I could see when he's surrounded by literally the Avatar and two of the best vendors in the world, it's hard to not feel inadequate, right?
Of course. Like, and I also like the idea that Sokka thinks differently. Like, he's always thought differently, and we see that throughout the master's teachings for him of, like, the challenges. One of the things is that no one really anticipates where Sokka's going to take something. He brings in creativity, humor.
Versatility.
He might not – the thing is, like, he might not be the smartest person, but he's a very – he has his own inventive mind, and I like that it the show – kind of highlights the gifts of that. Like,
yeah, he's very resourceful, and I think he has to be, like, being just from his experience. He was like the one man at the Southern Water Tribe. He had to make things work for everyone in the tribe. Like, I think his father says, I left you in charge of everyone, in a sense, you know. So he's used to this, like, taking on this role, taking on this type of responsibility. So it makes sense. And just because you're not a great bender, we see Ty Lee, we see May, like, they're amazing they're amazing non-benders. So I think it's just the fact that, you know, he's surrounded by such good benders. It's hard to not think about it every once in a while.
Yeah. And I think that Sokka does have a really special gift of, like, his innovation and creativity. And I like that. Like, okay, you might not be like everyone is bringing something to the table if you're willing to work within the team. Like, that whole team fell apart without him.
They really did. And the thing that I love the most about the gang is that Sokka's talking about, like, oh, I'm not special. I can't do anything. None of them saw him that way at all. Yeah, they were all like, you did take care of Momo. That was important. You know what I mean? They see his value, even if it's not bending rocks or water bending or air bending and things like that. So I really think that knowing that they think of Sokka of being at their level of, like, competency or, like, working together, I thought that was really important to showcase.
Of course. I love that, because it's like, you can't be a good team if you think that one person is a loser. Yes. Right?
Yeah, that's, like, so true.
Like, it's not going to work out. And everyone, it just shows, like, that equality, and it's like, that's what makes them so powerful, because they all respect each other's gifts. Mm-hmm. And it's almost like, okay, that's bringing... They have the balance within their team, and that balance within their team is it's like, this is what we need for society at large. Yeah. Like, we need everyone to respect each type of bending, each nation, each part of the world. They're all parts of a whole. Like, it goes back to that larger idea of the show.
I will say that I loved that they took him shopping to make him feel better. Like, I just loved that scene. You know what I realized for the first time? That was the first time we actually saw, like, a shopping montage, I think, in the entire Avatar
show. Did we get to the part where he buys the bag? No, right?
No, he was just like, should I buy this bag? I don't know. Yeah, okay. But, like, we literally see a montage of him, like, trying out different Fire Nation weapons. It was like, how is this the first montage in this show?
I loved it. Like, I want to be at that mall. What did you think of Aang's outfit?
I thought it was super weird, but also apparently it was based off of a toy that they were going to actually make of Aang in this crazy suit.
Really?
They actually were going to do it.
Oh my gosh,
so funny. It gave me anime vibes for sure.
I thought it was really funny. I feel like that must have been so fun for everyone to animate and, like, bring all the different types of tools to life. And I love that Sokka generally has a good eye. Like, he's attracted to the most beautiful sword at the shop, and everyone, like, the shopkeeper's like, oh, you really picked it, that's the best thing. And, like, the master lives in town and things like that. So I love that.
Yeah, it was like he was destined to meet Pian Dao. And I really do like that the entire team is like, this is the solution to your problem. You need a master. And they talk about how each one of them did have a master, you know, like Katara had her step-grandfather, right? And the Northern Water Tribe to teach her and Aang for about water bending.
Toph had the badgers.
Yeah. So, and Aang had Gyatso to help him as well. So, you know, it makes sense that you need someone to teach you these things. It's so, mentorship is so important.
How are we supposed to learn otherwise? And
There's no Google. He can't Google how to be a swordsman. It's like
I also, again, like, it shows that you, if when you have a guru, when you have a teacher, you have to say that, like, you have to prove to them that you're willing to learn, or you have to prove that you want to learn, like, mm-hmm. And it shows that you know, Pian Dao actually turns away many students because they mm-hmm. come and they're so aggressive. They're like, I'm the best in the town, I'm the best in the world, like, I need to learn from you to elevate my skills. And what attracts him to Sokka is that Sokka comes to him and is very vulnerable yeah. and very humble, and his insecurity or his feelings of self-doubt, he projects them so honestly to the yeah. teacher that the master agrees to train him.
Yeah, and I think his honesty is something that he probably doesn't see a lot. Mm-hmm. It's probably just not part of the Fire Nation culture to, you know, just put it out all on the table. But this, I will say that Pian Dao was my favorite guru that we've seen this entire show.
Me too. Me too.
He just, the fact that he takes on Sokka as a trainee, and the style that he teaches him too. Like, I really love all the calligraphy and yeah. the art, and you could tell. Like, I think he says, you can't take back a stroke in calligraphy mm-hmm. the same as you can't take away the stroke of the sword. I thought that was really powerful, and it's so true. But Sokka was so dumb too. Agreed. At the same time. He always had a different answer to the solution that Pian Dao had. Like, he just, oh, calligraphy is my identity, and he just marks the entire face with ink and plots it down on the
But also, the paper. Why did Sokka say his name is Sokka? Do you know what I mean? And like,
did you notice, because I've watched this episode before, you see he says, my name is Sokka, and like Pian Dao literally like turns and he goes, yes, wait. That's an interesting name. He knows yep. right away.
He knows right away. And I was just like, oh my gosh, like, please use and I like,
but did you love what at the end where he was like Sokka is too much. That's not a Fire Nation name. Just go with Lee. Yeah, there's a million Lees. But guess what Zuko's like cover name was?
Lee.
When he was in the Fire Nation. Yeah. Lee.
Of like, course. What? It was so funny. But I really like his teaching style, to bring it back to that of like tying art, tying all these things to fighting. And I like that they also made their own weapon. A lot yeah. of it reminded me of Iroh's teaching style a bit too, of bringing different elements. So like, yes, you want to be a good swordsman. They don't want you just to focus on sword fighting. You want to be mm-hmm. a good firebender. You don't want to just focus on being aggressive. Like, it's about yeah. mixing a variety of skills. And yeah, I loved Sokka's interpretation of those things. Like, when he mm-hmm. made the rock garden and he, like, just made it into a chair and was like, can I have a drink? And you could tell that Pian Dao was interested and, like, was laughing at him because he's also like, hey, can I have a drink too? And can you put a lemon in mine?
I like that too. Because, like, when he was, you know, doing the calligraphy, you weren't sure. I think Pian Dao was kind of like, what is going on? And then when he drew, when he sees the waterfall and he gets turned around and goes, paint it by heart, and yeah. he adds a rainbow, he's kind of like, oh. But then the rock garden thing, he's like, oh, he actually yeah. solved my issue. And that was really funny when the assistant was like, oh my gosh.
I thought that was so funny. And I liked all the challenges and things like that. Mm-hmm. And the teacher was also just very complimentary towards him and encouraged him to use what he's good at. Like, not everyone yeah. is going to be exactly like you, but you need to bring out the skills that you're good at. So, and yeah. I also, you know, bringing that idea of like using what's around you to give you strength, like, or the fact that Sokka decides to go to the meteor and take yeah. the meteorite and use that as his weapon, because it's like, that's kind of what pushed him to do this.
His space ward. His yeah. space, that is true. That is true. It like really turning, push him to yeah. actually make a difference.
Turning what's making him upset into making, like, he's taking it back his power. Like, that's so cool.
Yeah. Fun fact about, remember when Sokka gives Toph a little bit of the meteorite to play around with?
Mm-hmm.
You see her turn it into the Nickelodeon splash.
Yes.
For a hot second.
That was so cute. I loved that. That was so funny. So creative. And I also love how excited the gang was when Sokka came back and how proud of him they were.
They really did miss him because they really were lost without him. Like, the whole, it's so hot. How hot is it? It was kind of like, come on.
Come on, guys. Come on.
And then poor Toph was just like, I didn't miss you at all. I thought that was kind of funny.
The moment where Sokka like tells the master that he's from the water tribe, though, when he's being awarded his graduation sword, mm-hmm. it's like your stomach drops for a second, even though you know, like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
And then when he's like, you have to fight me, and Sokka's taking the fight so seriously, and the master's using it as a teaching technique, and he's yeah. like, I loved that.
The funniest part was like him, it was him running away from Piandao. It was so, he's like, oh my gosh, get me out of here. But he is so resourceful. And I really did like that. You know, it's clear that Piandao wanted to fight him in a sense mm-hmm. because he's from the Southern Water Tribe. Mm-hmm. But really the entire time he's doing this fight, he's saying, good job, versatility, like, agility, using your surroundings, good job, like being fast with a older opponent. That's mm-hmm. smart. Like, you know, the entire time was just a test. It was just a test. The final training, you know. It wasn't like he was actually going to hurt Sokka.
And I also loved the reveal where he's like, I'm not going to fight the Avatar and his friends.
That's
and
so
they were
funny.
Like, how did you know?
I have my ways. I've been around for a long time. But it was probably because of, the White Lotus. But mm-hmm. if you think about it too, he's probably too young. But in another life, say there was, if Aang was, I can't tell his age really, but in another life, say Aang, you know, was like, I need to defeat the Avatar. Maybe Piandao would have been his part of his gang in a sense.
It
you know what I
been.
Mean? The non-bender part of his gang. And did you notice too that I feel like they kind of like drew Piandao to kind of look like Sokka? Did you think that?
I was thinking that too. I was like, oh, he has the mature, like he's Sokka's face matured.
Yeah.
You know, like he's very handsome too.
He was very handsome. He had like the hair up in mm-hmm. a knot as well. But I will say that they did actually draw the character off of the Sifu that helped them with a lot of the martial arts that they did, the mm-hmm. fighting instructor on the show, mm-hmm. Sifu Kisu. But I think a little bit of Sokka's in there as well.
Oh, for sure. Know? I think so too. It was just really sweet. And I like when the master says, the way of the sword doesn't belong to any one nation. And I also liked when he said the knowledge of the arts belong to us all, because he loved calligraphy and painting mm-hmm. and gardening. So he has like that soft and hard aspect that kind of reminded me of Iroh.
Yeah. Oh, Iroh. That was really sad to watch him like pretend to be so disheveled and pathetic, basically.
Yeah,
right?
It made me like when he's so eating sad. Off the floor, and then like the minute the door closes, he again like eats in a very graceful way, or when he pretends to be just clapping into nothingness. The guards mm-hmm. were so disgusting and rude.
I know, but you know, this is all part of Iroh's plan. They're doing exactly what Iroh wants them to do.
I know, they're
dumb. They want him to not suspect anything.
Iroh is so good. Like, what a fighter. Like, oh my God. Those mm-hmm. push-ups where he's clapping in between his headstand? Like, what? Can you do that?
I mean, what else is he going to do in jail? You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing else to do. Might as well work out, you know?
Oh my God. He is fit AF. He looks so good.
He really does.
He looks so good.
But I love this episode. I thought, I don't know, it's just a great episode to rewatch. It reminds you of how great Sokka is. You know, last episode we had a Katara episode. This episode it's a Sokka episode. Maybe next episode will be a Toph episode. I don't remember. I don't know what the next one is. I think it's Azuko Azula Fire Nation Gang.
I miss my boy.
Oh my gosh.
But I thought this was a really fun episode. Good lessons. I loved seeing the sword fighting. Mm-hmm. And I loved actually seeing all the calligraphy. One of my favorite moments of the episode, though, is when they're hiking up to the waterfall and Sokka removes his blindfold and takes a look at it. And it's just so breathtaking. And his face while looking at it, I thought that was a really beautiful section.
Well, did you know what that waterfall is based off of?
No. Isn't that your fault?
No, it's Gullfoss. I think I'm saying it right. Gullfoss Waterfall, and it's in Iceland. So apparently, the Fire Nation landscape is supposed to resemble Iceland's landscape.
Oh, interesting.
And yeah, the crew of the show actually went to Iceland to kind of like scope out what everything looked like.
That's so
as
cool.
They planned for season three being in the Fire Nation, which I thought was pretty cool. Because it's kind of so random. Cool. Like, why Iceland? But honestly, Iceland seems like a cool place.
Yeah, it
like,
seems gorgeous. But yeah, I really loved that moment. I thought this was a great episode. Really fun to watch. A lot of interesting sections. Good character growth for Sokka, which I feel like he deserved his own episode. Loved all the parallels between this master and Iroh. Obviously, we know they're friends because they're both in
that
the
That makes
white
sense
limit.
That they have similar like styles as well because they're friends. Maybe they had their own. Maybe they learned together. They're both from the Fire Nation. You know what I mean? Maybe they grew up together.
And they're obviously friends because they're both in the White Lotus, you know, and they have that. You can see that they're operating from the same philosophy and theories. Mm-hmm. So I liked that. I liked seeing Sokka thrive.
I want to say another fun fact. Apparently, if you rewatch the episode, you'll notice the White Lotus like symbol is all over the castle.
It's on the door.
Yeah,
it's on the door.
It's everywhere. Yeah.
I have to rewatch and see if there's other ones. But I really enjoyed it. I think I'm going to give this like a 4.7.
Yeah, I'm going to give it a 4.9, 4.8, maybe 4.8.
I just don't want to give it one of my favorite episodes. I thought it was really good. I don't want to give it a 5 because I feel like we're going to get to some like crazy episode soon, so
but I think there you could give a 5 to an episode like this, which is a little more not as plot driven as well, because it is character development and it's still a good standalone episode.
It's a really good standalone episode.
That's true. Like it just because like you know compared to like The Awakening or the season 2 finale, those were so jam-packed and they were great, but like that could get a 5 too. Everything could get a 5.
No. You get a 5. You get a 5.
All right. Nice. Well, thanks for listening. Remember to like, subscribe, leave us a review, and we'll see you next week.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.